You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Election 2020.
So, foreign affairs is a pretty important political arena. You know, it's one where our decisions affect not only us, but people outside of our borders as well. It's got pretty far-reaching implications. But despite this, it hasn't received a lot of attention during this election cycle. I reached out to political commentator and associate professor Grant Duncan from the University of Auckland about why this hasn't received so much attention and what possible implications this could have for foreign affairs policy when a new government is formed after the election. I started by asking him why it hasn't been a big election issue this year.
Well, it's an interesting question. I wonder whether it's being neglected partly because there are some rather overriding concerns. Obviously, disease control is a biggie, and the economic recession and those things. But I wonder also whether it's just territory that the leaders are happy to steer clear of, because foreign affairs is also always a rather tricky set of questions.
I guess also just for most voters, foreign affairs is something that affects people outside of New Zealand borders.
Well, yes, that's true. But also I think that particularly among young people, I think that they're really interested in foreign affairs. You know, they're interested in the wider world of politics. And of course, you know, the question of, you know, how, what kind of relationship can we have with the United States while President Trump is there, and whether he's going to win in November. And then the relationship with China, travel is a big issue for young people. So, you know, I do think it is, you know, there's a lot of really interesting issues there, including climate change, because climate change is a foreign policy question. It really does require international coordination. So, yeah, there's a lot more to foreign policy. Well, there's a lot more that could be being asked of the leaders, but it just hasn't really come up much in the leaders' debates.
Do you think that the closure of our borders being kind of indefinite until the rest of the world gets the virus under control has meant that foreign affairs hasn't been a very pressing issue because we don't know when we're going to get to a point where we can actually make decisions around it?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think, you know, in terms of disease control, it would actually be really helpful if the international community could be more coordinated. It really would have helped to I think, stem the rise of the pandemic globally. And, of course, particularly the United States could have actually taken a much more positive lead. Instead, the US president decided to rubbish the World Health Organization, and that was not particularly helpful, I think, for tackling the global spread of the virus. So, all of those complex questions wrapped up together are also actually foreign policy questions. So the closure of the borders and then the question about when we're going to open them again, and Australia unilaterally making an announcement about not having to have, you know, quarantine for New Zealanders heading across the Tasman, at least to a couple of states. Those sorts of questions are in the end foreign policy questions. So all these things are wrapped up together.
New Zealand has received glowing international coverage for its handling of COVID-19. When the dust settles and restrictions are lifted, do you think we can expect to see a spike in people wanting to move here?
Well, possibly. I mean, there's already some interest in coming to New Zealand, not just as a sort of haven from the pandemic, but also, you know, it is a safe working environment. And I think it's certainly, you know, to a lot of investors and people, they've started to look at New Zealand as a good place to locate themselves. Look, any such good publicity about how well we manage things in this country is clearly good publicity for, you know, an attractor for highly skilled people who may want to relocate. So, yeah, and for tourism when eventually we get tourism back up and running. So, yes, I do think that relatively good performance and disease control in this country has been good for the country's reputation and attractiveness.
Continuing on immigration, the last few years have seen a wave of xenophobic politics worldwide. Has New Zealand been immune to this trend?
No, it hasn't been immune to it. We were lucky in the 2017 election that Winston Peters chose not to go down the track of a strong anti-immigrant rhetoric prior to the election. There was a bit of a worry that he would, because there was, a lot of that sort of populist anti-immigrant stuff going on globally. I think he chose not to to play that card because he didn't want to make his party into a pariah party that none of the mainstream parties wanted to really work with, because he was aiming for office, and of course he eventually became Deputy Prime Minister. But I can assure you that not just New Zealand First, but a lot of, there is unfortunately throughout New Zealand quite a lot of, frankly racist opinion about immigration. And, a lot of people hold the view, for instance, that if you immigrate here, you've got to learn to do things the Kiwi way, you ought to learn English, and those kinds of, you better fit in and be like us rather than, if you like, the opposite point of view, which is say, hey, we really like diversity, we really like, you bringing sort of aspects of your religion or your way of life to this country because we enjoy it. So there's a lot of that kind of anti-immigrant sentiment in the country, but it hasn't been pushed really hard by any political party, certainly not in the last election, and neither in this election so much. I think that probably the terrorist attack in Christchurch has made anyone wary of publicly making any statements that, could offend people like that. So it's a little bit politically suppressed in this country, so to speak, but in terms of public opinions, unfortunately, those views are actually quite widespread.
You mentioned how New Zealand First has in the past sometimes played to this rhetoric. Current polling has New Zealand First being booted out of Parliament. How do you think this will change the foreign affairs landscape in New Zealand?
Yes, that's an interesting point, because Winston Peters has been Minister of Foreign Affairs, and it's not entirely clear to me, honestly, who would be Minister of Foreign Affairs after this election, assuming that we have a Labour government or a Labour-Green coalition government without New Zealand First. So Labour hasn't clearly stated who its Foreign Affairs spokesperson is, probably out of deference to Winston Peters, who is, after all, still the incumbent Minister of Foreign Affairs until things change after the election. And so I would have thought perhaps possibly David Parker would be Minister of Foreign Affairs, or possibly if it's a Labour-Green coalition, it could go to a Green Party minister, for instance, if we have a Labour-Green coalition after the election. So it's not entirely clear which way that portfolio will go, but clearly, policy in all sorts of directions will change without New Zealand First, because as Winston Peters has quite proudly said in recent weeks, he's been the handbrake on Labour, and he's quite sees it as a positive role, a sort of common sense role, that he's put some of the brakes on some of the more left wing policies that Labour and the Greens might have liked to see.
While there hasn't been much discussion on foreign affairs generally, the Greens have released quite detailed foreign affairs policy, at least compared to other parties. Should Labour need the Greens to form a coalition government, how high do you think these policies will be on the priority list for negotiations?
Well, I would have thought that the Greens' priorities would be very much about climate change, but as I said before, climate change actually is a foreign affairs issue. The two can't be kept apart, can they? Labour's talk about foreign affairs is very much focused on trade. The Green Party tends to be much more sceptical about free trade agreements. In fact, often in the past they've been opposed to them. And I would imagine that given their views about, first of all, about peace, about human rights, international human rights, about climate change, and also their views about trade, particularly their resistance to free trade agreements, I would have thought that the Greens would be aiming for perhaps holding that portfolio of foreign affairs if they could. that would probably be on the negotiating table in any coalition negotiations, I would have thought. Whether or not they'll have any success in having that kind of influence remains to be seen. I mean, it depends on how the numbers fall after the election, doesn't it? But yeah, I mean, I think that for people on the left and the Green Party, foreign affairs is always a priority area.
While none of the main parties have made any clear indications on their policy around China, tensions between the US and China remain high. If New Zealand wants to maintain friendly relations between both of these states, how will New Zealand navigate this situation?
Yes, a very tricky navigation because, yes, on the one hand, we do depend on our friend, the United States. Unfortunately, in the White House at the moment, we have a fellow who is not terribly helpful in terms of the sort of multilateralism that New Zealand prefers. The, you know, the America First kind of policy is not really helpful. Also, of course, Donald Trump is a difficult person to just have a civil relationship with because of some of the things that come out of his mouth. Of course, we have to wait to see what happens in the election there as well, don't we? But and China's a different story, isn't it? Because, you know, they're not really a democracy, well, not a representative democracy in the sense that New Zealand and the US are. But yes, they're now our biggest trading partner, and so we really have to have maintain a good relationship with them. But the Chinese keep doing things that are frankly violations of human rights that cause us considerable concern, and they're much bigger than us, and they're not necessarily going to pay much attention to what we have to say. And all of that, of course, yes, you've got this relationship, this tense relationship between China and the United States. Trump has been upping the ante on China in his rhetoric about the origins of the pandemic, but also, you know, it wasn't that long ago that he was engaging in what he called a trade war with China and claiming that he could easily win it. So, yes, it's difficult for New Zealand because we're just a little player stuck between these two giants who are not getting on well, frankly. And, yes, so I think, I mean, New Zealand's ability to influence that relationship is extremely small. So we just have to try and, you know, somehow navigate our way between those two giants without getting crushed.
95 BFM News Election Coverage 2020. Foreign Affairs. That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.